Welcome to the Rural Revival Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Larson. We are coming at you today with a very special episode of the Rural Revival Podcast. This just so happens to be our 150th episode, and I felt like that was worth celebrating. So I asked my dear friend and Rural Revival travel buddy, Joni Nash, if she would interview me and talk about what all has transpired since this all first started. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, and enjoy this special 150th episode with Joni and me.
We are here today with Dana Larson, the beauty, the brains, the genius, the visionary behind Rural Revival. And I have the privilege of sitting down here today and asking this Wonder Woman questions that we all want to know about and we all want to hear. She's so good at featuring everyone else's story, but today it's time to take a time out and let's hear from Dana. I actually got to meet Dana because of Rural Revival. She came to my community to sit down with me when I was in the position of a Chamber of Commerce executive, and she wanted to know about what was going on in my town and the community of Pawhuska, and that began a beautiful friendship, and we've had the privilege of traveling together all over this country to feature businesses in rural America and communities that are just working hard to cultivate revival. So thank you, Dana, for letting me have the privilege of hosting you today.
Joni, thank you so much for doing this. You have been a very faithful travel buddy through all of this, and you're one of the great blessings that have come into my life because of this podcast and the business that has come from it. So thanks for doing this.
Well, again, like I said, it's a privilege. I have a question. Like, this is what we get asked when we travel. And let me just say, if you're new to this podcast, one of the things that I like and I'm proud when I explain about Dana and how she does her program and everything is I will tell people she goes the extra effort. She will get in the car and roadmap and travel to the businesses she wants to feature. And there's a lot of sacrifice on her part. But just to value that business and that community so much that you would take time out of your schedule and go there to set eyes on it and to see the people is incredible. And I just want to like point that out. Like I said, if you're new to this platform, you're new to this podcast, any podcast you listen to, with the exception, I know there was a couple during the year of 2020 with just outstanding circumstances you had to do via Zoom or through technology. But if you hear a podcast on Rural Revival, Dana has traveled to that state. I mean, we have been all over. And she's done some without me, but I love to say I'm her bodyguard. But one of the things that people say, if we're at a restaurant and they ask us, why are we in town or what are we doing? And we start to explain. So tell us what so many want to know, and we've been asked a million times in our travels, is what is Rural Revival and how did it start?
Yeah, so ultimately, Rural Revival tells the stories of people doing amazing things in small towns, and hopefully that will inspire more people to do amazing things in small towns along the way. And yeah, it really started as a podcast, but it has grown into this bigger thing. It's a business now, and our goal is to help small towns and small businesses grow. But the backstory is Rural Revival started, I was living in Nashville, and I'm from the farm in Iowa, so I would travel home to the farm from Nashville through all these small towns. And I saw so many of them looking in decline. And it made me sad because I loved the way that I grew up in a small town, in a farming community. And I knew that was a special way of life. And it just made me sad to see that happening. And so I started to think, like, man, what can we do to help revive our small towns? And I realized I started to have friends who were moving back to their hometowns and opening these great businesses, and they were making a living from it. And these are people who could go anywhere in the world and open businesses, and they were choosing their small towns. And so one night I was home for Christmas break. My friends were playing a show at this little small town depot and we're sitting around and I'm like, people need to know a place like this is possible in a small town. Shout out to Jeremy Mahler for opening the 1914 in Minburn, Iowa. That's one of our past episodes. And everybody around that table was like, yeah. And I'm like a podcast or something. And everyone's like, yeah, you should do that, Dana. And I was like, nah, you know. But honestly, that topic kept coming up when I was home for Christmas that year. And I got back to Nashville after Christmas break and I just could not shake the idea. And I finally was like, okay, God, if this is you, if this is something I'm supposed to do, then you have to give it a name. And then I'll know that it's serious. And it was probably 3 weeks later. I can tell you exactly where I was. That name, Rural Revival, just dropped into my mind. And I knew right away. I'm like, okay, I guess I am going to do this.
Got a name. Got to go. Yep. Got to do it.
Yep. So I didn't know anything about podcasting at the time. I loved listening to podcasts and I loved learning that way. So I knew that's the platform that I wanted to share this on, but I didn't know how to do it. Now, thankfully, one of my best friends in Nashville is a music producer. So I went to him and said, I think I'm supposed to start a podcast. Can you help me get this off the ground and running? So he was so kind to order me all the equipment, teach me how to edit. He made my intro music, all that stuff for me. And I just started out by interviewing my friends and putting it out into the podcast world. And I really didn't have any expectations. I really just was putting them out because I felt very strongly this was something I was supposed to do. So I put them out, didn't have any expectation, didn't know if anyone was going to listen. And within a couple weeks, I had people start contacting me that I didn't know from other states. And I honestly, to this day, don't know how they found me, but they must have just been searching for that topic on podcast platforms. And so they were asking me, how can you help my business? How can you help my small town? And I'll be honest, my answer at first was like, let me get back to you, because I wasn't expecting that. I just was putting a podcast out. So I took a couple months to really listen to what they were asking for. And my background is in marketing and public relations, advertising, communication, all that kind of stuff. And so I really started thinking, how can I take my skill set that I've developed over my career and put that towards helping this audience, this new audience that is building through this podcast? And so that's kind of what I did. I just started listening to my audience and providing resources that would help them. My biggest thing is like, if I'm going to provide something, I want it to be of great value. And so I started creating resources that had value that would really help people. And that's how it started becoming more than just a podcast. It started developing into a business.
Well, and one of the things that you are, you didn't mention, but one big skill that you have in your tool set is that you are a strategist and you're able to sit down with businesses and towns and develop strategy and help them get from point A to point B. So it's cool to watch in the last several years now how you have educated yourself in this area, been all over this country and seen how things are working and what's not working. And you've been able to take your skill as a strategist and turn into a consultant, you know, for communities, for businesses, for individuals. So as you have grown this business, you know, just touch on a couple of those things that you have seen develop from you helping other people with their strategy, as well as growing your business.
Yeah. So it's been very organic. One of the first things I started doing was I realized there was a need for community. So I started hosting a few events here and there where we could get together and learn, but also build relationships with other people from different parts of the country who were trying to start a business in a small town, trying to revive their communities. We all, you know, kind of have the same mission, even though we're very spread out. And so oftentimes you can feel very alone in doing that. And I wanted to provide a place where people felt like they had a community and there were other people who understood what they were trying to do. And so that was really the first thing. I did put together a membership group called Cultivate, where we met several times a month, had guest speakers, did live Q&As, all of that kind of stuff. And that actually, I didn't know COVID was going to hit when it did, but it actually started right when COVID happened.
I remember that. It was you were country before country was cool. Like you were Zooming before the whole world even knew what Zoom was. I mean, it was like clockwork because I had left from Oklahoma to go to Georgia and March 25th or whatever it was, whatever you could look back at the day that our first Zoom was scheduled with that network of Cultivate community, the membership was the first Zoom that I was a part of with all, you know, my businesses. And
yeah.
it was literally the week that the world shut down and we're trying to figure out what's going on. So you had it already in queue, ready to go. That to me, I was like, wow, how'd she do this?
Yeah, so, who knew?
Who knew? Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we did that for a couple years. And, you know, like everything, sometimes a season ends. And so we're not currently doing that, but I'm looking at ways to bring that back, maybe in a little different form. So if that's something you're interested in, shoot me a message. I'd love to know what would be most valuable to you in that kind of a platform. But ended up shutting that down, but I've also just kind of expanded into things like speaking. So whether that's been speaking at a chamber gala or at a rural entrepreneur conference, things like that, also coming in and doing strategic planning with small towns to kind of help them create a path for success. All of that stuff has just developed organically over time. I also have hosted master classes. We've done all sorts of different topics, and we will continue to do those. Those last anywhere from 1 to 5 or 6 weeks, depending on the topic. And we just bring in experts and hone in on a specific area and help give people tools to thrive and succeed in what they're doing. And I love doing that. It's so fun to be able to help people in that way. And then I've also created a branding agency called Branded by Rural Revival. It has always been a dream of mine, given my background and my career, to have a marketing agency that was based out of rural America. And I always knew in the back of my head that it was possible, but I also knew I had to find the right people if that was going to ever happen. And so I had to be pretty patient on that one, and I had to wait for the right people to come and fall into place for that. But that time came this last year. And so we launched Branded by Rural Revival. Right now we're focused on websites and social media for small businesses and small towns. And so that has been a lot of fun getting that up and running and off the ground. And like I said, that was a dream in my heart for years. I didn't know if it was possible, but we're doing it and it's great. And we're helping a lot of people along the way. And now we're going to be expanding into podcast support and editing. So stay tuned for that. That's coming soon.
I want to go back to that just real briefly, because it's cool that you are living out that dream that you had, but it's neat for me to watch your clients just explode in a way of like, that's building a website is such a headache for a small business. And it's also one of the largest expenses they have. But with the model that you've developed, tell us a little bit about that real quick.
Yeah. So I'm one of those people that never thought I would create a website in my lifetime, but I taught myself how to build websites. And I realized how important it was as a business owner to be able to know how to do that myself. And yet I know there are a lot of people out there who don't want to build a website by themselves. But what I have found to be most successful for a small business owner is to equip you to know how to update your website. And so I wanted to create options for people that allowed them to be able to do that. So one of our options, if you're a DIYer, you can purchase one of our website templates, watch the videos, and we'll teach you how to update that template with all of your branding, all of your copy, your photos, and make your own website. And when you're done, you will be fully equipped to know how to continue to update that website into the future. Now, if DIY is not your thing, we also have an option where we will build your website for you. And we have this really great process that we've developed to understand your needs, your look and feel, and to put that all into your website. And then once the website's finished, we will send you videos going through each page and showing you how to update it so that, again, you're equipped to take that website and run with it and not have to continue to pay someone to update it, continue to wait on somebody to get to update it. But you have that tool in your hand to just do it whenever you need to, which I think is so important as a small business owner.
Yes, because being a small business owner, you don't have time to be your IT department all the time,
right,
too. But you definitely streamline that for them and make it headacheless. And then they can call you, Dana, wait, help.
Yes, exactly. So I'm really excited to be able to offer that. And that has come through kind of a lot of learning on my part first. So, mm-hmm.
Well, and listening to your audience, that has been a common thread of frustration, it seems like, with a lot of small business owners. So you're very good at listening to your audience and finding out what they need and how Rule Revival can help them.
Yeah.
So, Dana, from the inception of Rule Revival in 2018, because you were probably 6 months in when you and I met.
Yep.
And from there, it has just, like we've just briefly talked on, it has evolved, it has grown. One of my most favorite things is the community that you have built. You have connected people in small towns from Alabama to Washington to Michigan to Florida, you know, and I've watched these people become friends and communicate. And that's probably one of my favorite parts of Rule Revival is the community that you have built. Right now, you're up to how many podcasts that you have published?
This is 150.
That's a benchmark.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes.
150. And again, I will state, those were not done via Zoom, with the exception of a small handful. But you have been all over this country. So I applaud you in that. I know I keep going back to that, but I just applaud you. So what inspires you? Like I said, you've built this community, but you're passionate about this. What inspires you to keep going?
Well, I'm a fifth generation farm kid, and that love for the land is in my blood. It's in my bones. And I really truly believe if you love the land, you have to love the community that's built around it. So to me, small town America, reviving our towns, bringing these business opportunities to these communities, this is my version of the American dream. It's, to me, that's what America's about, the land of opportunity. You know, rural America has always been the frontier in our nation's history. And to me, and I think for a lot of you who listen to the podcast, it still is. So we have to take advantage of the opportunity that we have right in front of us. These empty main streets and these buildings, these cool historic buildings, are just waiting for somebody to come into those buildings and open up shop. So as an entrepreneur, I can't think of a better place to start a business than rural America.
Amen, girl. It's so good. Like I said, and when you go into these places, after we leave, after you have met with the businesses or the town leadership, because that's how you and I was in civic leadership when you and I met. I felt it first person, but now I watch you when we go into these places. When you leave, you have inspired that person, you know, because a lot of times when you're in your business and you're pulling the cart, and like you said earlier, sometimes you feel so alone and you're the only one, your inspiration to breathe life into these businesses, into these communities is contagious. So Rural Revival has become exactly that. It started with you as a visionary, but it has become a revival. And when you go into these places, you ignite that revival. And I just have to say that to the listeners, especially the ones that are new. If you've been following this platform for a while, that is not news to you. But if you're new, I want you to know that, because it's so important and you live it out. So your inspiration that you see is contagious with Dana.
Well, thank you, Joni. It's an honor to me to get to go into these communities and to meet people and just be a cheerleader for them. Because like I said before, I think it's easy to feel alone when you're in a small town and you might be the only one doing this. You might be just one of a handful of people doing it. And I want you to know that what you're doing matters, that it is making an impact even if you don't see it. And so for me and you even, you know, I mean, we come into these communities as outsiders and we get to see what they're doing from a different perspective and we get to see how cool it is. And I think sometimes it's maybe even just reminding people, like, what you're doing is really awesome. You really are making a difference, because it can be easy when you're in the thick of it to forget that. So it really is truly an honor to be able to pour into people and into communities like that.
And when you show up, you know, you've got this girl from Oklahoma, this girl from Iowa. Yeah. We've driven all the way to Montana to sit down with them at their kitchen table sometimes. You know, yep. Josh Smith was Montana Knives. It was literally in his kitchen table, inside yep. his kitchen, that we sat down and heard about him and how he is living the American dream. And so many like him, you yep. know, that we've sat down with. And that's not to be taken lightly when you've seen a girl drive across the country to sit down and hear their stories. They know that. And then you're sharing their voice with people they may never meet this side of heaven, and they are touching lives.
Absolutely.
Through this vehicle.
And that really has been the goal from day one. I hope that by telling these stories, it inspires more people to do great things in small towns.
We're going to switch gears just a second. So you have learned a lot, and you have taught a lot, and you have seen so much success and been that cheerleader for these individuals with these big dreams in these small towns. Not to sound cliche, but that's what it is. Big dreams in a small town. I think that's a Hal Ketchum song or something. I don't know who it is, but maybe Restless Heart is who that is. Oh, man. Yeah. I want to know just if you can give us some of your gold nuggets, like give us some of those things that you see and that you've learned about reviving towns that you could just touch on. I know this is a very deep subject and something you could talk about on all day. But I do want to give your listeners a couple nuggets about what you have learned in reviving small towns and doing businesses in these rural areas.
Yeah, I think vision is kind of a non-negotiable. In every town that I see that's being revived, there's at least one person who has a big vision for that town who's pushing it forward. And so find that person in your town. If you don't have somebody who's kind of leading the charge that way, I think you have to find that person, because that is a key to your success. And a lot of times we're trying to change mindsets that have been in place for decades. You know, when you drive down the same streets every day, see the same buildings, you maybe don't look at them the same as like you and I would when we're coming into a town, and you forget that there's opportunity there. And so we need to breathe fresh vision into our towns. That's just a really important piece that has to be an ingredient in what you're doing. I also think, like, stick with the people who are your people. You can't worry about the people who aren't with you. There will always be people.
Because every town, every organization, every place has those people.
Yeah, and they'll be the loudest. They will always be the squeaky wheel, and you can't let them discourage you. You have to just move forward without them and not let their chatter get into your head. Keep your eye on the vision. Keep moving forward. Keep building momentum. That's really going to be a key to your success. And then I think, you know, I just by nature, my personality is I'm going to look for the best in things. But I think that's something that we all have to do as we're reviving our towns, is always believe for and aim to achieve the best, because it is possible. I truly, truly believe that. There's a pretty widespread mentality that we have to settle in our small towns that I think has just been kind of an underlying message for a while now. And maybe we can get into later why I think that is, but I think we have to change that, because I don't think that's necessarily true anymore. And even if opportunities come along that aren't the best, we feel we have to take them, because what if that's the best that we can do? I've seen things that would absolutely blow your mind when people refuse to settle for less than the best. And this podcast is full of stories of those exact
examples. Testimony.
And I think when you aim for the best and you have the right motives about that, there's always a way to make it happen. It might not be quick. It might not be overnight. But keep going, because there's always a way to make it happen. I truly believe that.
It may not come as quick as you'd like it to be.
Yeah.
You know, we make those plans, like communities will set out and do the 5-year plans, the 10-year plans, the businesses make a 5-year plan, 10-year plan. Sometimes our timelines are blown out of the water. We're like, oh, that happened a lot quicker than I thought.
Awesome.
But there are times that you have to keep pulling that wagon. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, find your people and stick with them.
Yeah.
You know, and learn to tune out the naysayers.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to, or it'll just
eat your energy.
It will. Yeah. And we can't afford to just give any time and space to that.
One thing that I've got to observe, and I want to make sure you share with the listeners, so whether you do it now or later, I got to hear it. But what would you say would be the common thread with your listeners. You know, you've interviewed 149, not counting yours, 150, 149 small business owners, small business leader, or, you know, community leaders in communities across America. What is the common thread that you have heard over and over and over?
There's probably two things. One is, if you do what you love, the money will follow.
Yes.
And we've seen that so much, but, you know, it might not be there right away. In fact, it's rarely there right away, if we're being honest. But if you persevere and you keep going and you keep believing, the money will start to follow. And I really, truly believe those desires and those passions are in you for a reason. It's not by accident. I think we were designed to be put on earth to do these things, those desires of our heart, those passions. And if we don't step out and take that risk and go after that, we're missing out on our purpose here on this planet. Other people need what you have, and
they're waiting on it.
They are. It's like a ripple effect. When you step into your dream, that opens the door for somebody else to live out their dream. And so if you're delaying stepping into your dream, that's just delaying somebody else from being able to step into theirs. And we've just seen that again over and over.
I've seen it in my little hometown.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's a great example.
Pawhuska, Oklahoma. You know, Reed Drummond didn't have to open a restaurant. And it was her and her husband's dream to have a restaurant. And yep, because they did it, and they could have done it in any community, any city,
yep,
in this state or country, they chose their small hometown. And people thought they were crazy. And because they did it, it has allowed, you can walk up and down the streets of Main Street and you see these businesses that may be the wives of ranchers or just whoever, yep, that never knew that they were going to have that dream of being open, able to open a small retail shop or a restaurant or whatever in their small town. So when you, like you said, when you do what's in your heart to do, it is not just for you, it's for other people and for to enable them to do what's in their heart. It is that ripple effect.
100%. And I mean, you even had the ripple effect of that.
Oh, with my cabin?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And that, do you remember, we were doing one of your Rural Revival mastermind classes here in Pawhuska.
Yep.
You had small business owners literally from all over. I mean, I just remember, yeah, meeting so many people. Okay. But what was happening in my world in the middle of that mastermind class, I was having to step in and out because I was trying to purchase a small historic cabin that butted up to my existing property. And that, I was scared to death, but it was because of what I was hearing in that class of people that had stepped out and lived their dream that I was able to just move forward that week. And on Friday, after that class was over, I had a signed contract on that cabin. And now I'm able to offer this place for people to come from all over to visit Rural America, to take time out from their busy schedule. And so that's a dream of mine, to host people and to love on them like that. And I can pinpoint it to being in a Rural Revival masterclass that literally like fueled my faith that week. Cause it was kind of touch and go with, you know, buying property sometimes gets a little hairy and nerve wracking. But I was in this little incubator of small business owners stepping out, doing things. And that gave me that extra go. So that was, the timing of that was not lost on me. And now I'm able to live out my dream. And I'm just hearing testimony of people that come and stay here and how it's fueling their hearts. So it is a ripple effect.
Yeah. So Koi Tea Ranch, everybody, if you want to come stay in Pawhuska.
Yeah. Thanks, Dana.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. We're talking about the common thread. And I remember being with you when you're like, it was a person had said, follow what's in your heart and the money will come. Do not do it for the money. Do it for what's in your heart and the money will come. And you remember you and I looked at it like, if we've heard that one time, we've heard that 1,000.
Yeah.
Or at least 149.
Absolutely. And the other one is just start. Mm. We've heard that one so much too. One small step at a time. So like, if you know in your heart that you're supposed to do this, at some point you just have to go for it and see if it will work. Maybe it's starting as a side hustle and growing into a full-time business. Maybe it's just starting to monetize your hobby. But you will never know if something could be more if you didn't take that leap and just start. I always like to say, what's the best thing that could happen? Because maybe it actually will.
Ooh. I'm going to sit on that just a second. Will you say that again? Because somebody might have been telling one of their children to be quiet or something, and they missed that. Will you say that one more time?
What's the best thing that could happen? Because maybe it actually will.
Yep. Just start. The best thing? People say, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, no, what's the best thing that can happen?
Yeah, and what if it actually does?
Because it just might. I got chill bumps. That's good.
Yay.
Okay. So you definitely, the two things that we have heard over and over again that you just touched on is that, you know, follow your passion, the money will come. And then another is just start. Like, don't despise small beginnings, just start.
Yep.
But what are some things that has helped you, because you are a successful entrepreneur, you're helping other people be successful entrepreneurs. What has helped you to do that?
Oh man, so many things. But a few, I guess, that come to mind would be constantly learning. I'm such a learner, so I love to read. I love to learn how other people have built their businesses, and I think that has really helped me on my journey, just learning from their trials and errors and successes and figuring out how I can implement different things like that into my business. But I've also discovered I can teach myself to do a lot of things. You know, the internet is our greatest helper. YouTube, there's a lot of good info on YouTube and on the internet. So things like building websites, which I never thought I would do, or figuring out how to use technology to streamline my business, that has been so valuable to me. And so many of those things, like, you know, step back 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh, I don't know how to do that. But yeah, I can do it. I can figure it out. And I've learned that. Like, don't tell yourself you can't. There's a way that you can figure it out. A lot of times, not always, but that's been really helpful to me. I've also had some great mentors in my life who believe in me and can speak truth to me. That has been so important. And if you don't have a mentor, I really encourage you to seek that out. I have multiple mentors. You know, I have a great business mentor who happens to be your dad.
Tommy Nash.
We love you. And I also have, you know, other mentors in my life for different reasons, spiritual mentors, relational mentors, just people who've helped fill in holes in my life and can teach me in different areas. And they have been so valuable to me, and I value them so much. So also kind of along that same vein is just friends around me who are also entrepreneurs. I mean, how often do we talk sharing, helping each other with our businesses? Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're out there going solo and trying to build stuff by yourself, it's important to put people around you who are also doing the same thing, because iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely. We joke about, you know, when you work in an office with people, you have the luxury of getting up from your desk, walking down the hall, going into that person's office, sitting down and be like, okay, I got to write this email. How do I tell this person? Blah, blah, blah. You have a 3-minute conversation. That person solves your life's problems and you get up and go do your email. So you and I will call each other. I'm like, okay, this is me coming into your office right now. I have a question. And it's a 3-minute conversation. We say, okay, goodbye. And we both go on with our day. You know, you have to have those people.
Yeah. Your business besties.
Yes.
Yeah. And one other thing I'll say is I think always being able to try new things, being willing to try new things. I always say I'll try anything once. And I've done that over and over. If it works and we're onto something, awesome. Then we'll do more of it. If it doesn't work, I always learn usually many things from it that I can then take and refine or change course to try then something else as we keep moving forward. So that's always been a great help to me. Even if I have to do something once and just break even on it, it's not a loss, because I'm always learning. So that has been really helpful to me too.
That is very good. And I want to, you mentioned that as your answer about being a learner. You are a lifelong learner. And I love how you live out that attitude where you have something and you're like, you know what? I have never done that, but let me look into it. And then you come up with, like, this is what I found, you know, and then it just starts snowballing. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that I've watched you live this out so much where you hit a block where you're like, wait a minute, I don't know how to do this. This is new territory for me. And you just immediately start educating yourself. And I think as an entrepreneur, I would say that's a key, a huge key. Just absolutely, like you pointed out. Let me ask you this. What do you love about being an entrepreneur? Because it's not easy.
No.
And people think you're crazy.
Yeah. You got to be a risk taker, man. I think the biggest thing to me is I get to bet on myself.
You have to.
You have to believe in yourself that you can do this, because you can. And everyone who's been on this podcast is proof of that. When we're working for other people, we're basically spending all of our time and energy betting on someone else. And so when we step into being an entrepreneur, being, you know, business owners, we get to bet on ourselves. You know, I spent years in corporate America, and I came to that office every day working on somebody else's dream. And there are some people that they're perfectly satisfied doing that, and that's great because we need them to do that. But I, that wasn't me. I would go into that office and I would be like, I know there's more to life than this. I know this isn't it for me. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I knew in my gut, I was just like, this is not it. Yeah.
And you're speaking to the person right now that needs to hear that. You know, there's someone that has that idea, that dream, that skill set that is inside of them and they can't shake it.
Right.
They need to hear exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's not a waste. I mean, there are things that I learned working in corporate America that have definitely helped me in what I'm doing now. I can look back on all of my past experiences and glean something from them that's helping me now. But I just knew that wasn't it for me. And so I had to take that risk and step out and not know if I was going to make an income, not know if, you know, what that was going to look like. But I did it, and it's the best thing I ever did because I was made to do this. And if that's resonating with you as I say this, that's probably what you were made to do too. And I really, really want to push you to explore that more and to think about what that would really look like. Because if that is a burning desire in your heart and you're not going for it, you're missing out on something. And I learned that somewhat the hard way, you know. I probably spent way too many years in corporate America, but here I am. I made it. I made it to where I was supposed to be. And I'm so glad I did.
And timing is everything. And like you said, those seasons where you were doing not what you wanted to do, but what you were doing at the time, none of that time was in vain. It was not wasted. But I will say, Dana, I've witnessed this in traveling with you to do your interviews. I have heard and observed more than once where your interview people will say, if you say, what are your regret? And they'll say that I did not step out sooner.
Yeah. And you know, times have changed too. Like when I graduated college, my degree was in public relations. At the time, that was 100% a city job. You really couldn't find a public relations job outside of a city. But now, and that is one positive that has come from COVID, is we can do our jobs from most anywhere, a lot of jobs. And so now a public relations degree can work from any rural community. I believe it's possible. So
as long as you have internet.
As long as you have internet, yeah. So I think we're living in a cool time to explore the possibilities of the jobs and the careers that we can have in rural America.
Absolutely. And as they explore, like, you know, like I said, your time in corporate America was not wasted. You're using it today, the skills that you learned and the things that came from that season. You've stepped out, and I have watched you like create this vision, this mission, this heart, this passion, and it's turned into a business. And now you're able to help even more people. But there was a time where you thought, you know, is this something I need to keep as a hobby? Is this something I need to continue to pursue as a business so that I can afford to help more and more people?
Yeah.
You know, because if it's a business, you're able to feed yourself, therefore you're able to devote more time into helping others. Was there ever a time where you thought, I may need to go back to corporate America, or at least I have corporate America as a backup plan? So yeah, for you.
Honestly, no. I have learned, kind of like I said, I was made to be an entrepreneur, and I finally figured that out. I love building businesses and brands and taking an idea and growing it and making something of it. I really, truly thrive off of that. And I think if we think of, well, that's my backup plan, then we're really not all in what we're doing, because there's always a backup plan that's a crutch. Like, no, I'm not all in on this, because if this doesn't work, I can always go back to that. I think my mindset has had to be, there's only a plan A. I've got to find a way to make this work. I will do whatever it takes because I believe in this, and this is my purpose, and this is my calling. So I'm going to find a way to do this.
And keeping that vision in front of you and all the things you just said, keeping the right people around you to feed that and to tell you that truth when you're doubting it yourself, because that happens. Tell them it does.
It does. Absolutely. I mean, we have conversations about that where we have to kind of be like, no, don't go down that road.
Yeah. You might be going down that road, but I'm not going with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm bringing you back.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not going there either. So we've talked about Dana that travels the country, going into these small towns all over from shore to shore, all these states. Tell us about Dana when she's, you know, a lot of times I know you're in Nashville working with some clients there and things. When you're back in Iowa, which is a large part of your time now.
Yeah.
And on your family farm.
Yeah.
Tell us about Odie Bolt.
Yeah, Odie Bolt. So I'm just going to kind of give a little background. When I started this, I was living in Nashville. I ended up moving back to my hometown in the middle of all of this, actually, thanks to COVID. That was kind of what pushed me to go back there. And I'm so grateful it did. I had always thought, man, I would love to someday be able to move back to my hometown, but I didn't know if it was possible. And when COVID happened, I had actually put all of my stuff into storage. I was going to travel full time. And so I let my apartment go in Nashville. And then a week later, the country shut down because of COVID. So I went to the farm because I felt like that my whole family's there and what a great place to quarantine. And honestly, it ended up giving me like a test run of what it would be like to move back there and live there. And I decided I really loved being back there. And so I decided to make that my home base. And, you know, that was a long off dream of mine that I didn't know if it would ever actually happen. And so I'm so grateful that it did. But now that I'm back, you know, and I've been doing this stuff with a lot of other towns, I actually get to do it in my community too. And so we have established a community foundation to raise funds to help save our main street. And we have a main street that looks like a lot of your main streets. We have a lot of empty buildings. We have a lot of empty spaces where cool old buildings were torn down. But we realize the value in what we have left there. And we want to see our town thrive again, especially our main street. We know that's a key to our future. And so, yeah, I set up a community foundation, have a great board, and together with a lot of other people in the community, we are all working hard. But I feel like we've gotten the momentum started, and now we're just working to keep it going, and little by little, it's happening.
It's good. And again, it's not easy, you know, but you're doing it. And so you're in the trenches with all the people that you're cheerleading in the other communities.
Oh, yeah. And like in our town, we started with the biggest project, the most expensive project in the whole town. And trust me, it would be a lot easier if we could start with a little one and get a big win on that and then go to the big one. But we have a building that if we don't save it soon,
right,
it's going to
fall
in.
Right, I was going to say, that one was time sensitive.
Yeah.
So it was
and
like
so,
now or never.
All right, we're going to just start with the biggest project that will cost the most money.
Right.
But
you probably would tell your listeners, like, maybe go with a smaller project, hit momentum. But if it's something like that, just go all in and go big.
Yeah, and we're figuring it out. And it hasn't been perfect. And there's been some definitely hard parts of it. But we're getting there. So we're going to just keep going.
Well, what advice do you have for leadership that is, you know, they're in their communities, they're trying to pull the wagon, they're trying to find those like-minded people around them that also catch that vision and want to share that passion in moving their town forward, despite what, you know, the naysayers are saying? What kind of advice do you have for that leader?
Well, I think the greatest leaders empower people. They cast a vision and they empower others to come alongside that. For me, in my town, it started with a mural. Actually, I drive the grain cart for my family on the farm every fall. And I wasn't traveling. I'd cleared my schedule for harvest. And I was back home, but we hadn't started harvest yet. So I had a little free time in there. And I decided, you know what? There's this building on the main highway that goes through town. What if we painted a mural on there? That would look cool. That would be a great impression for people driving through our community. And so I worked with one of our local ag businesses and asked them, you know, could I paint something on the side of this building? Would that be okay? And they're like, yeah, let's do it. So I spent a week waiting for harvest, painting this mural on the side of a building. And I just wanted to do it because it made a good impression. But I was really surprised at how that stirred up something in people. People were sending me note cards saying, thanks for doing that. Thanks for believing in our community. And it seemed like such a simple thing, and I had no idea that it would even, that people would even notice, really, or that it would resonate with them, but it did. And I think as a result of the response that got, people started asking, like, what can we do in our community? And I got, I'm the vision caster. Like, that's, I feel like that's my sweet spot. And so I've had the opportunity to cast vision around town. But what has happened since then, and it's certainly not all because of me by any means, but I think just hearing that vision has ignited ideas and given people some excitement about our town, and so many things have been happening there, and it's so awesome. So I think just starting by casting that vision, you might be surprised at how far that can go. And, you know.
Yeah, I just see this spark. Like, you,
yeah,
you take a match and you spark it, and what happens from a spark?
Yep. So yeah, the vision piece is important, but keep finding ways to build momentum. Momentum is so important, and it can at the beginning feel really hard to establish that and to keep it going. But once you get it going, man, it really just builds on what your town is doing, and people start getting excited, and then they start, you know, living out their dreams and pursuing their ideas for the town. And that's a key piece. I think just encouraging people and talking positively about what's going on in your community. Be a cheerleader for people. It's easy to talk negative about stuff. I mean, we can all pick apart things that are not right in our town, but sometimes the harder thing to do is to find the positive. But we have to do that. That's the thing I want to be talking about. What are the good things going on here, and how can we make those even better? Like I said, get some good mentors. That's so key. And then, yeah, just keep casting that vision. Many times we're changing mindsets, and I think I said this before, but it's worth repeating. We're changing mindsets that have been in place for decades in our communities, and that shift doesn't happen overnight. We have to keep casting vision and helping people see what's possible. And as we do, more and more people will get on board, and that's when we really start to see things happen.
That's good, girl. That is so good. And I've watched you live it. I've watched you live it out and really just ignite that spark. Yeah. So, all right, Dana, you just used the word mind shift. Let me ask you this. What is the biggest mindset, like that shift? What is that shift we have to make in our mindset in rural America?
I think for a while, we have maybe come into agreement with the thought that rural America is not enough, that in order to be successful, we have to leave, that staying in our small community is maybe a backup plan or a default plan. I think it honestly, this is just my take, but I think it stems back to the farm crisis. You know, that was a really hard time for rural America in the 80s. And a lot of people lost a lot. And so, unfortunately, a lot of people did have to leave rural America to be successful. And I think we're still seeing the impact of that, honestly. I don't even know if we realize it. But it started that mind shift of, we can't make it here. We have to go somewhere else to make it. This is not where you can have a prosperous life. And that, for many people, that was the case then, but it's not the case now.
So much has changed.
So much has changed, and we have got to break off that mentality that's been hanging on with us since that time. You know, now I believe rural America is the place of opportunity.
And quality of life.
And quality of life, and so many, like, what a great way to live. I do think we have a responsibility in our communities to find out what is it going to take to make it possible for people to stay here. We have to, you know, I started a program called Raised to Stay, kind of around this very topic, but it's about finding out, what do our high schoolers want? Do they want to stay here? Do we have jobs for them to actually have a career with and to be able to sustain a family long term? That kind of all started when I was at an event and I was like a table leader, and it was, I can't remember the exact event, but it was a bunch of high school girls, and they rotated tables, and we got to ask them quite a set of questions. And so throughout the course of the day, I probably had 100 different girls visit my table. And the first set of girls, I happened to ask the question, how many of you want to stay in your small town after you graduate, if it's possible? And they all wanted to. And I was so surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
So I made it a point then for every group that followed after that to ask that same question. And out of those roughly 100 girls, only one or two of them said they didn't want to. And that lit a fire in me because I was like, I knew it. I knew they wanted to stay. I knew it. But we have to make it possible for them to stay. And I think the opportunity to do that is greater now than ever before. So let's find out what those high schoolers want. What careers are they going into? How can we create jobs for them in our towns? How can we make it possible for them to make a good living and raise a family there? And, you know, I think of when I graduated high school, the night of our graduation, we all sat around a campfire by a pond. It's probably the only time our whole class hung out together completely. But everybody was there. And I remember how sad everybody was because most of us had to move away. And I think times are different now. But at that time, unless you had a career that was somewhat related to agriculture, you had to go away to get a job. And everybody was so sad because they wanted to stay. And that has stuck with me all these years. I've never forgot that. I still get teared up about it when I think about it. We have the opportunity to make that possible for this next generation. And I think we just have to go after it.
It's good.
Yeah.
You're doing it, Dana. You're leading the charge with Rural Revival. And there is an army of people, a community, a network that is behind you and just singing your praises for casting this vision and for speaking life into so many people, into so many businesses, into so many small towns. So I just, on behalf of those people, because I'm one of them, I just want to say thank you. And I just want you to keep on because we need people like you, Dana.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Joni, for going to so many of these places with me and being willing to just come alongside. It's been awesome. It's been so much fun. And so many people have just believed in this vision and come alongside. And I've gained so many wonderful friends and connections throughout the country because of it. And so thanks to all of our listeners. You guys, you're the reason that I'm doing all of this. And I'm so grateful for you.
Dana, you're going to hate me for asking this, and you didn't even know I was going to. How many listeners have you had in the 150 episodes since day one?
Well, we've had over 1.5 million downloads. So that to me, I don't like saying that.
I know you don't.
I don't get into the numbers.
I know you
really don't.
You never even look. I usually have to make you like every 8 months. I'm like, how are you at now? And the reason I bring that up, I know, like I said, I know you're looking at me like that was not on my list of stuff to talk about. But I am saying this to your listeners because that is a piece of information that shows that people are hungry for this.
Absolutely.
That people long for the values, the lifestyle, the quality of life that is found in rural America, and the fact that you have 1.5 million downloads for something that you consider a niche.
Yeah.
It's not the niche that we assume it is. People are hungry for life in rural America.
Yeah. And I think that has been one of the biggest surprises of this whole thing to me, is just how many people care about that and how many people that matters to. So yeah, thanks everybody for being along for the ride.
Yep. Dana, thank you so much for sitting behind the interview seat today, and letting me be the interviewer, because that's usually your job, always your job. But I am so glad that we got to hear from you and hear your heart and hear your experiences and hear just who makes Dana Dana and where Rural Revival came from and where it's going. So thank you for sitting in the hot seat today and doing all of that. So, Dana, is there anything that we didn't talk about? Is there any last thoughts that you would like to share with listeners?
I would just say, you know, this whole Rural Revival thing has grown organically, and it will continue to. And so I love hearing about what you need in your community, in your business, and how I can help you. So don't be shy. I love hearing your stories. Please reach out. Introduce yourself. Tell me what you're doing in your small town. And let me know how I can help you, because that really is my heart.
That it is, and that is very evident. So thank you, Dana, so much.
Thanks, Joni.
You're welcome.
Well, it was so much fun to relive all of that. And I think it's always good to go back and remind yourself of where you came from. So thanks for allowing me that opportunity today. Whether you're a new listener or one who has been with me from the very beginning, I just want to thank you for being part of this community. It is you all who inspire me every day. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep living out your dreams. And remember, what's the best that could happen? That's all for today, friends. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.